in life, universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Sylvie Avery.
Hello, I'm Sylvie Avery and welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week, through our connection with our spirit friends, we discuss various topics of interest and take great pleasure in listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us. In a most natural way, we are able to cross the divide between our physical world and the non-physical world, when my husband Mick deep trance channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, and he has access to great knowledge and wisdom, lucky for us. And this week's show is another chance for you to actually phone in and ask questions, to maybe initiate some new thought within your mind about metaphysical situations or spiritual situations to do with maybe the spiritual pathway of the earth itself, or maybe other dimensions of the universe, the spirit world, just basically anything that you wanted to know that maybe a spirit guide could help you with. And so it's not a sort of a reading style situation. However, we do private Akashic readings with Gregory that you can find out about on our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. So we will be having a lovely time, and if you would like to join us, then the phone lines will be open. It's toll-free in the US. That's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international calls aren't toll-free, but it's 001-530-876-3222.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery. Now, as well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, 1 p.m. EST, 6 p.m. GMT, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching, and you can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 4 p.m. PST. That's 7 p.m. EST, midnight UK time. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, CDs, or book an Akashic reading, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com. And for English people in England and Europe, we're also at www.mickavery.com. Now, what we're able to do as spirit mediums is to offer you the spirit world's perspective on the nature of our existence. And when I go into the deep trance state, Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for an educational group in the spirit world called the White Cloud Group, will borrow my physical body for the whole of the show. I won't know about anything else that happens because my spirit and my consciousness are transported to somewhere else. This doesn't mean to say that I know necessarily of where they take me. And there are various different reasons for that. I won't go into right now, but it's really to do with the stability of my mind consciousness. And if I became fixated upon where it was the spirit world were going to take me, or if I thought about it, I wouldn't actually be able to have the genuine out-of-body experience that I have. Anyway, look, please do have a good look at our websites for a better understanding of how we work, because we haven't got too much time to go through all the information at the beginning of every show, as it would take up way too much of our valuable time, which we give over for the entirety of the show to the spirit world. So I'm going to say goodbye for now, and hope you have a great show, everyone. And Sylvie, of course, is in giving her energy to this situation, is going to also take command of the complete and whole event. Thank you. Bye.
Gregory had an earth life 300 years ago, but has continued to learn and evolve in the spirit world. And this is exactly what we can do. So this is how it really, really is so appropriate, this program. And basically, he comes now to share his wisdom with us for our benefit, well, actually, and for the spirit world's benefit as well. And he will, I'm sure, explain what I mean there. But anyway, the White Cloud Group, who he is the representative for, were formed to bring us knowledge that will hopefully steer us toward a more peaceful and harmonious future. They're made up of all kinds of scientific minds and scholars from all walks of life, as well as ordinary people. The information we bring is without religious bias or political persuasion, and we believe in everyone's right to their own views and beliefs. And as I briefly said earlier on, don't forget, we do Akashic readings with Gregory, and you can find out all about those on our Akashic readings page. They are very different from probably anything you've ever had before. And basically, if you're interested in learning about your pathway in life, which is exactly what we're going to be talking about today, then that is the reading for you. So anyway, I do believe Gregory is with us now.
With love and light and blessings be upon your pathway and your journey, little bird. Hello.
Hello, Gregory.
Bonsoir.
Ooh.
I didn't eat any snails on my way over.
Oh, frog's legs.
No.
Okay. Well, I did mention just there in the intro about our pathway in life, which is something that the Akashic reading helps people with, that you give such wonderful information over to them about. And actually, it is a question that we have here from Mr. Baton in the UK.
Yes, yes.
And his question is, we talk a lot about finding our life path. Many people, including myself, have searched for it. And at times I have been told, you are on your life path. I must say, I think to myself, what am I? How do you know? This is a question about the words we so often use, fate, destiny, life path, but never seem to define. Could you please enlighten us?
A very interesting point, dear friend. Fate and destiny. Yes. Many people, of course, they may be actually told that they're on their life path when they may well not be. This is a point then of familiarity of where the person actually thinks that they themselves are coming from. That means then it brings into question a matter of judgment of themselves, their own decision-making processes. If they themselves feel that they have the right form of judgment to bring something about to do with your journey and state categorically that you are on the right path, even if you may be having one terrible time of your physical life, you would be thinking, well, if this is my right path, surely this cannot be the design that was made or meant to happen. If you then couple with that, oh, well, it's fate, that means to say then, what, that you are not supposed to do anything about the things that are happening to you, or that you should just be simply beguiled by them and carried along with it willy-nilly like some leaf upon a babbling brook, and wait perhaps for fate to play the right hand for you to then perhaps gain some enjoyment out of life? I understand for many people, they trust a great deal to fate, the fate hand, in a sense, of many different kinds of conditions. Oftentimes, these are of deep spiritual meaning. I understand full well where our dear friend Mr. Baton's energy and situation of what he is thinking and saying and feeling within these questions. Purely and simply, we see many people who will take this judgment upon themselves. I can tell you why it is that you are on your right path, or that you are, of course, on your guided pathway. Well, how does that person know they're on their guided pathway if, in fact, their pathway is actually strewn with many rocks and boulders and many unpleasant things in their physical life? Surely that cannot be right. We look all the time to the spirit world. I say this from the point of view of being in the spirit world, I know, but that in many respects, I am seeing this as a agent provocateur, that I can see quite clearly that there are marks and markers where people in the physical side of life point to the spirit world and say, well, it's all your fault. You've brought me here. You have made me have this life. No one made you have any life. Other people make you have this life. You have to understand, as a physical being, you are at the behest of physical energy, primarily, because that is where you are. The registry that happens to you as a spirit having a physical experience is, in a sense, secondary. Because at this moment in time, right now, you're the one that's breathing. In, out, pumping all of that blood around your veins. All of the chemical actions and activities happening within your physical body, not at the behest of spirit, but because you are a physical being. So this means to say then that with all these other situations, what fate hand is it? Is it the fate, are you saying then, or suggesting, or thinking in your mind that it may well be the fate hand of God, perhaps, that has created such a horrific pathway, or such a negative pathway, or such a beautiful pathway, well strewn with great financial rewards, and life is smelling of roses. I can see quite clearly that many people will be extremely flummoxed by all of these different attitudes of which they face. People within the registry of their minds, of their ascent, of their understanding, will no doubt use their energy and use their construction of the physical life. They may well power themselves and their life through yours and take all of your own giving, all of your own decision-making, and all of your own identity, and actually turn it on its head, simply because they can, because you have maybe allowed them to, or because they are physically stronger than you, or because they're mentally stronger, more powerful than you. Therefore, you succumb, perhaps, to wily chance, perhaps to different situations that they bring across, that then takes away your energy, takes away your own decision-making process, or takes away some other fact or facet of your ability to coordinate your own life, that then makes you subordinate to their energy and their life, their way of thinking. There is no fate hand apart from maybe that you're unfortunate to have come in the process path of someone else's life who happens to be a lot stronger than you are. That's exactly what's happening at this present time in Afghanistan, or Iraq, or other places, perhaps, particularly with the poor people of Pakistan at this present time, where we see many people trying to exert their own pressure, their own will, upon the mass of free will thinking people, trying to make through fear their own subjugation. Therefore, they then create their own fate, in a sense, by not standing up to it. Or maybe because they've tried to stand up to it, that it just gets worse. And the worse it becomes, the more anxiety and the more chaos ensues. Does this make it right? No, of course not. However, there will always be those kinds of situations where intolerable indifferences and intolerable marks of progression that some people take because of their religious fact or facile anomaly, which then tends to rear its head because it's some strange weed or other that no one else can understand, but that simply they feel they have the fate hand upon themselves to be able to direct or administer their own thoughts onto other people. So there we have it, don't we? Destiny? Is destiny already foretold? No, not one bit of it. It's only foretold if you succumb, if you feel that I'm not at will to this. I am merely a puppet, and therefore I shall just succumb to whatever the will of the universe wishes of me. That also is a rather limp and wistful way of thinking, that everything then is at the will or the behest of some other powers that seem to have a vested interest in every single detail of your life, including absolutely everything that you do, and that there is some grand plan in order to set it about and make it all work. What you have to understand, friend, is that when you're actually having a physical life, the situation is quite different to how it is relayed and understood within the spirit world, where upon the energy of a single being denotes or dictates what they are actually able to do. In the physical world, people in the physical side of life can gravitate, create their own energy, can manifest it, magnify it, make it stronger, oftentimes by wicked acts, because they see that as power, in exactly the same way that rape is for a man over a woman. It is exactly the same thing. It's taking power off yourself. Rape doesn't happen in the spirit world. Murder doesn't happen in the spirit world because you can't kill anything. However, spirit interactivity with the physical world is a different matter altogether. So that brings to various different points. Well, surely then, why is the spirit world not policed? The point I have to make here is that the spirit world energy is to do with the facet of the law of proximity, which is the state of the energy of the being that contains it. If you are a being who is beautiful and loving and understanding, your energy will reach many quarters. That negative physical energy will not, or that spirit negative energy will not. However, it still takes a great deal of attitude and of careful understanding to be able to bring that whole value into the physical life. Oftentimes it's extremely difficult, which is why it is that sometimes the matters of the spirit world, when you're talking about extreme negativity coming from some spirit individual, that it is something which is actually created because of an anomaly created within the physical, the once physical life experience that spirit had. It's not actually coming from the spirit themselves, it's actually coming from the physical life journey they had led.
Mm. Oh yeah, well let's clarify that, because
yes,
it is coming from them, them as they are now,
yes,
through something happening to them to
That's
have
right.
made them how they are.
Exactly, and it yeah. happened to them in this physical side of life.
Yes, because we always have to clarify the fact that we are a spirit having a physical experience,
yes.
and that when we die, our consciousness goes back to the spirit world, and we are then once again driven by hang on a second, can I just...
Yes.
I've just thought of something. Do you actually ever see your spirit? Apart from the periphery.
In the spirit world,
yes,
you mean?
Yeah. I know you can see, sometimes if you meditate, you can see your spirit as a bright light in the corners, right at the periphery of your vision, with your, if you've got your eyes closed.
Yes, that's true.
Well, and open sometimes.
Yes. But the only reason for that is because in a sense, for many people, it's actually very difficult for them to imagine or create that energy of connection for their own spirit to become illuminated.
Mm.
That doesn't mean to say it's not possible. I'm just saying that it is quite difficult to do.
So do you ever see it in the spirit world?
Yes.
You do?
Absolutely, yes.
What does it look like?
Well, for example, my dear friend, there are many times in the spirit world when I don't use the Gregory Hay physical vehicle that I had, or the consciousness that I had of Gregory Hay.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, I am just, in a sense, a blob of light.
Okay.
I'm a blob.
A light, okay.
But a light. Mm. And a recurring energy that has energy of itself. The same as we all do.
And do people recognize you as that energy, as that light? How do they recognize you?
How do they recognize me as being, oh, that's the light of Gregory Hay, but he's a pure spirit Gregor at this present time?
Mm.
The situation is, in actual fact, it's simply really a matter of recognition of the different forms of color orientation of the spirit light that you see.
But can anybody and everybody work that out, or would they have to know that is you? If they could see it, though, because I know not everybody would be able to see it.
Not in the physical side of life,
world. I mean, in
simply
the world.
Because of the change of energy.
Yeah, okay. And we will, by the way, everybody, we will go back onto the finding your life path question in a minute.
We're just
having a little detour into the spirit world here. Because I think it's fascinating. Okay, so the people that can actually see your light in the spirit world.
Yes.
Not as a form, but as a light. The actual people that can see it, do they have to have known that these are your colours, your frequency or whatever?
Yes.
They do.
But also, though, my dear friend, if they are then presented with my form as a pure spirit being, then oftentimes what will happen is my energy will simply impress upon their energy who I am.
Okay.
And that oftentimes is what will simply happen in the spirit world anyway. You don't necessarily have to see the actual physical form or the filigree of it, the representation of it, what it would have been. Mm. It may well be that you only see a beautiful prism of light, but that is in a sense self-perpetuating, because we as spirit are self-perpetuating, which is in a sense my point, that many people have it lost within their minds as to what spirit is, and that in actual fact spirit has to and can only become illuminated once you have had a physical journey, then you have spirit.
Which is nonsense.
Which is actually nonsense. Yeah.
It's just that you have a physical form and then go back to either using it or something else, or just being a light. The human mind as it is, and mine in particular, I was just thinking, okay, so you go back to being a light.
Yes.
How do you see, Gregory? You've got knee eyes.
And no mouth to talk with, dear friend. Yes, I know that. But the point is, my dear friend, that within all of the purity that pure spirit is and have, we are able to manifest whatever it is that we choose of it. Now, usually what happens is that spirit, when wanting to illuminate toward beings of physical form or beings who have had physical life in any form that took place, they will have to, that is, I'm talking about beautiful pure spirit, will have had to have changed its frequency to be able to be seen by other spirit in that situation.
Yes, I can see that.
So that the density, the change in registry, if you like, vibration That is the number of beats per second or whatever that will enable beings in the spirit world to be able to see or witness my light as Gregor, simply and purely is created because I have chosen to change my frequency.
So can you, you can turn it off completely so nobody can see you?
Yes. That is true. I only wish, however, that I could interact more freely within the physical world, in a sense, because then I feel that I could do so much more good.
And in what respect do you mean, and why can't you?
Because, well, I'll deal with the second part first. Why can't I? Really, because the registry energy of my spirit consciousness and of my physical form that was Gregory Hay from 1723 when I passed, that in itself, its form, in a sense, doesn't hold me back, but that, and it's not that I don't, that I choose not to be present, but that in many respects in the physical side of life at this present time, with it being so intensively negative, it's extremely difficult. And it takes a great deal of energy, sometimes a concentrated energy, for myself to actually be recognized. In actual fact, Fred, I have managed to come through on a few odd occasions as a blue light.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But that, and in a sense, that blue light was quite a representative of myself, but that actually if one had looked a lot closer and a lot deeper, they would have seen many different shards of other colours within that too, which is indicative then of my actual colour registry.
What were the other colours as well?
Various kinds of greens, bottle greens, and also to do with a kind of a yellow as well. But they are all many myriads around a similar theme, in a sense, and a similar colour density. However, that the different varying parts of my spirit means that there are some parts of it that you just wouldn't see. So it would be almost like it was a mass, but that had, like a sponge, that had holes in it.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Because the human consciousness and the brain project different colours, don't they?
That's true.
With the different states of illumination that we go through in our lives.
Yes, unless you are blind.
Yes, but I mean to you, isn't it? Isn't that to you,
yes,
I mean?
Yes, that's true. Yes, that's absolutely true.
I do believe.
But I am also talking about what you would see in within yourself.
Yes, okay.
Yes.
So vibration of happiness. Pink is happy.
Yes.
Lemon is...
Well, actually, lemon is actually quite positive.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind doing a show on that one day, actually. All the different colours that are indicative of how we are feeling that you see around us, the vibration of happiness, because there's also the frequencies that we actually vibrate on as well.
Yes, the many different ones. Yes, quite so.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that one day. And we can't we can't stretch this out too far. So we'll have to get to get back on track.
So fate and destiny, fate.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, right. Yes, fate and destiny. Well, basically, Mr. Baton says... okay. Do they exist, and can you define them for us?
Does fate and destiny exist?
Yes.
Well, as I say, you may say that fate would be someone else's decision then. Not your decision, is it? Unless you choose your own fate. If you're a person then who wishes to take their own life, and your decision is to use a knife or to use a gun or to use some other instrument or to hang yourself or to gas yourself or something else or to take pills or to drown. It is your fate to decide your destiny, is it not? in a sense, even though you may not actually, it's like, in a sense, you choose your method of destiny, but not understanding actually what it's going to feel like, or what your witness to that event will be. Because it may well be, as oftentimes can happen within these kinds of situations, within a suicide situation, for example, that when people are actually going through that, they then suddenly want to backtrack and struggle from it.
Mm.
And I don't want anyone to then suddenly think, oh, and then are forlorn about the loved one that they lost because they had taken their own life, because they suddenly felt that they were they made the wrong choice and then struggled with the whole situation of their passing. I'm not meaning to say that, in a sense, however illuminated that may become within some people's minds. What I'm trying to bring about here is you understanding destiny and what is fate. So, for example, up to the point that you make a decision, everything else is simply a matter of whether you turn around and walk away, walk in the opposite direction. If you don't want for someone else to take command of your life, walk away from it. Otherwise, you succumb. If you wish to do something else within your life, that you do not want to go to war, or you do not want for some person to do something that they have a power over you over, it may well be that you can't walk away from it, that you just simply have to go through it. That isn't really fate. That is someone else having their mind over you and their power over you. Is that fate? Does that mean to say that you asked for this? Or that you did something within your mannerism, that you created this signal for this person to come and do this? Or was it simply that you were at the wrong place at the wrong time? There are many people in the physical world that say accidents do not happen, that everything is meant to be. I feel that is a somewhat fatalistic attitude to take, and have to say with a firm hand on my, where there was once a heart, to say, dear friends, that if you wish to roll over and have your tummy struck or tickled, that's a matter for you. But if you really truly have an understanding of where you want to be, then what you have to do as a physical being is make yourself be there. However that takes. That doesn't mean to say you stand on other people's backs, and it doesn't mean to say you use other people's lives to get there.
Okay. Well, I can see, well, destiny surely comes into play. It is possible, for instance, if you give somebody an Akashic reading and they have specific
qualities
about them and their vibration and their gifts and all of that, you can see that they would be destined to be something or other, something big, something good, etc. The possibilities are there for them.
Yes, I would not say, however, my dear friend, I would be very careful in that respect of saying this is your destiny, purely and simply because they may not want to take that route.
Well, I know, but isn't that their pathway? Wouldn't that be a life pathway for them, though, if they followed these natural gifts that they have and abilities that they have, right?
Yes.
Surely that would be a life pathway for them.
That is
them.
True. Absolutely.
And then that would have been a destined path.
Yes, absolutely. But what if the person doesn't want to do that?
No.
What if they have some other plan? Or they actually didn't want to do that at all? That was absolutely further from the truth. Perhaps they don't even like the thought or the connotation of it.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Well, that aside, surely that would be a way that we could use the word destiny, even though it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to happen, because as you say, they might not want to do it, or they might meet this person that you've just been talking about who takes their energy and takes them off of path.
For a different reason.
Or they have an accident and all of the other things that we've been talking
about.
Yes, absolutely. You could use destiny in that event, couldn't you? If everything goes to plan, really,
yes,
you know, boom, boom, boom.
If everything went to plan, then that would be that person's destiny.
Absolutely, and you meet the right people, yes, the right doors open for you,
so,
etc. In a perfect world and in a perfect situation. Unfortunately,
in an engaging environment, yes.
Yes.
Unfortunately, it doesn't.
Because there's too much negativity in the world. So this is why it's so difficult for people to find their path.
Absolutely. That is quite true, friend.
But could they have more than one pathway?
Oh, yes, it's possible. Particularly someone who is particularly gifted. Someone who has many different possibilities within their life plan. If they have many gifts of spirit, for example, it may well be that their energy, their beauty revealed to themselves may be just as merest spark, but to them actually seems like some glorious sun has come upon their horizon. And yet actually what they're going through at this present time isn't absolutely, well, almost nothing compared to what the potential is. What their potential is then is a matter of, can they accept that? We have to take it upon ourselves when we are telling or bringing this information forward for other people, that they still have a free will experience. It is a matter purely for them. And whichever pathway it becomes that they choose to make, we and those working with them in the spirit world would always honor that commitment that they have and that decision that they have made. As long, of course, as that is not a negative situation, which, of course, would then be tantamount to, it would bring about a great, very difficult energy within that person. And that person could become actually quite sick and ill, purely and simply because they have moved so erringly, even when they knew that it wasn't the right pathway for them.
You see, you see people's potential when you're, for instance, giving them a reading.
It's what we try to bring about.
Yeah, you see people's potential. A lot of the time, they can't see it because they are...
They're in it. They are the being.
They are the being, yes. We cannot see our own gifts a lot of the time unless you're very egotistical, for instance, or possibly. It's like we can see other people's gifts as well.
Yes, it's a little also like a dog seeing its tail for the first time doesn't really understand that it actually belongs to it.
Not quite what I would have said, but yes, very good.
I'm just trying to bring a little humour.
Yeah, but this is why it gives people hope. But basically, so you're saying that potential is a life pathway, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That's another word for us, isn't it?
Potential is the key, in a sense. If you have a potential as a being, and I'm not ruling anyone out in this situation, I am saying that every single being, regardless of whether you have all of your arms and legs, or whether you have none at all, whether you can see or whether you're blind, deaf or hearing, whatever your instrument of the state of your being, if you like, creates potential for that pathway. You are a creative and an understanding being. You have understanding because you can understand one and one. The pathway of one and one means that you, if you are aware you are a being, you understand the pathway of one and one. If you're not aware of you being a being, then you don't. That's the difference between an amoeba and you, hopefully.
Yeah, okay, so we need to see our own potential. When we see our own potential, we gain some form of stimulus to that. Positive thinking, positive harmonic propulsion, as you call it, to actually go forward. Law of attraction comes into it as well. It all comes into it, doesn't it, really?
Yes.
But when our intention is clear and we send out a positive signal and are attuned to what we feel we have to do and the creative life force, then then presumably that is something that we could say that we are on our life path, and hopefully we don't get knocked off periodically by negative situations impacting on us, because that is what happens.
That is true, yes, because then it ignites the potential pathway for you. It means then that, yes, look, there's one there, they've stood up.
Mm. And the thing is, it doesn't really matter, does it, if you are going along that road and you think, you think that that is your life plan, and then you veer off slightly.
Yes.
People panic and they think, hang on.
Yes, they do.
I feel like I'm not on my life plan anymore, but I still really feel that I'm drawn to be doing this other thing. That is still the same situation, isn't it?
It is really, yes, because it's just this exploring another potential.
Yes, and that could
That's
be
right.
leading you to somewhere that you didn't realise that you were going to. That's the thing.
Yes.
We think that we can see this marker with this high pinnacle, this place or whatever it is,
yes.
and that is where we're going. But we're not actually going there, are we? We're actually going...
Usually not, though.
Exactly. But no, but we're actually... It's a good start.
It is a good start. It's a good beginning.
Mm.
But what you have to understand is because you're a physical being... The law of one-on-one, in a sense, the law of proximity, dictates that you don't necessarily see the end goal or fully understand it. You cannot, because you are not in that state of being in order to perceive it.
Mm.
When you become in that vibration, when you become into that instance of knowing, you will then look back and think, yes, I thought I was going to feel this and that when I reached that point, and it's nothing at all like it. It's not even close. Then it means that being is actually understanding far more about their original potential and what they could have done, all of the other pathways they could possibly have walked along, and still may have ended up with an essence of where they are, but not with the same hindsight. And not with the same river of beauty as they forge their journey from one pinnacle to another, from one trough to another, as they learnt, created. I'm not saying here that learning lessons is all about it is. This is really the fulcrum of attention, if you like. Because everyone thinks that, this is it. This is the point of what I was supposed to be doing. And it isn't.
Well, surely we never actually feel fulfilled, do we? Because if we did, we would not actually reach for any more goals to go further and beyond, to keep searching.
No, that isn't true, actually, my dear friend. I have to say, people often find that they find fulfillment, that they reach pinnacles of their profession, they reach pinnacles of their unlocking, their understanding, and they're happy. They create auras of karmic beauty amongst their lives, and then off they go again.
I was going to say, what fuels us forward then?
Well, it's not boredom or anything like that. It's purely seeing a different perspective. There is more potential still yet. Even in a being who has become, so say, ascended, finds potential. And then, it's not that they cease to be ascended anymore, but that's simply coming from a human perspective anyway, because things are only ascended when it comes to human matter. That form of understanding actually doesn't exist in the spirit world at all.
No,
the same as religion doesn't exist in the spirit world, or angels, or any of this other stuff, you see.
Because if you were ascended, you wouldn't know that you were, because you would be totally egoless and...
And in the state of being.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be anything.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly as my point.
Okay, so we are reacting to what? Because it's like Mr. Baton says, you know, he says...
Dear Mr. Baton.
Yes. Yeah. What... And he would actually like you to tell us, we'll do that a little bit later if you can, tell us any people who actually followed their pathway that we might know of that's now in the spirit world.
Albert.
But, okay, well, can we do that in a minute?
Well, I'm just saying Albert.
Yes,
he
did. That was naughty.
Yes.
Okay.
It was.
Can I go back to that, please?
I'm just playing with you.
What do you like?
I'm naughty.
Because I lose my thread.
I'm sorry, friend.
Okay.
Please continue.
So what tells people that they are on their pathway? I mean, we have to be reacting to something.
Illumination.
Okay, illumination.
Illumination, not necessarily because you've already got your mindset. However, there's a difference there. Now, some people may become illuminated because they expected to see angels or they expected to see some being in a white frock or whatever it was, or a being of light. There, and they became illuminated. What next? Do they actually ask questions from that illumination? Or do they simply take that as it? The point is that you have to understand from what illumination comes. Illumination from nothing means there has to be an identifiable energy. That energy has to come from something.
Yes.
Energy doesn't exist unless it comes from something.
Okay, so if you have an experience like that and you feel this illumination.
Yes.
Now, hang on a second, but we're crossing over into another area here, aren't we?
Again. I know that.
Yeah.
That's why I was, in a sense, hesitant.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not go into that at the moment. Let's carry on with... We are reacting to something that helps us continue our pathway to keep us on the right path. So, but we do feel an illumination within us, within our spirit, within our physical...
Recognition.
A recognition, okay.
Illumination is another word for recognition, in a sense.
Right.
Call it release, if you like. That what you feel is identity with. I identify with this energy. I identify with this feeling. Mm-hmm. I identify with this emotion emitting from some core within me, which gives it recognition. Recognition begets the illumination because it's something recorded from the past, from past spirit experience. Now, that doesn't mean to say that it's always going to be past life experience, as in lives, but rather that it's to do with your spirit's experience over millions and millions of years, usually.
Mm, your core energy.
Yes.
And as you say in our readings, that people come from different soul groups in the spirit world, and they usually have their own potential.
Yes, coming from that soul group brings that potential. Exactly the same, my dear friend, as you would have perhaps the soul group of dog. You may have many, many different species of dog or form of dog, which all have different characteristics, all have their different plietudes, their different abbreviations of life, the way they breathe, act, the way they sit, stand, point, whatever it is. These are all facets of their inductibility as a physical being, but also they are parts of the nature of their beautiful pure spirit, because just because they're the spirit of dog doesn't mean to say that they only come from one soul group.
Okay.
Because they have very many illuminations of their actual physical journey.
Okay, can you tell us any well-known people who have found and followed their pathway,
Albert
Gregory?
Einstein.
Oh, really?
Nikola Tesla.
Okay, what did their path look like to them? What did it feel like? How did it happen?
Well, actually, for Nikola Tesla, I have to say his pathway was so strewn with rubble, and in many respects, his whole journey did not become really truly illuminated to him until after his laboratory burnt to the ground. When he lost many of his experiments, he then actually threw away the situation of interacting with people. He was almost like became like a Jekyll and Hyde figure in many respects. But that's not to say that he was then unhappy. What he actually did was he threw away, rejected many of the situations of him actually trying to illuminate pathways for other people's recognition, for his own recognition.
Mm-hmm.
He'd actually done away with that. at that point. Up until that point as well, and within the situation with Thomas Edison, I understand, for Nikola Tesla, because of the fact that he was actually the person who'd invented all of these different things, not just light, but electric light, but also the radio and telephone situation, telephonics, were symptomatics of which then Edison, simply because he was able to see potential for his financial gain, then took it and ran with it. He wasn't actually the inventor of anything. Thomas Edison was simply a copier of and a taker of other people's ingenuity, of other people's
life
illumination.
Path. Of other people's life path.
Yes, in a sense, yes.
So it was made up of specific types of events, really.
Yes, that's true. And what actually happened to Nikola Tesla was that in the fullness of time, he was much more immersed in the situations that he had been working with in to do with radio waves and looking and understanding about their potential within radio waves to actually augment change energy and to be able to utilize them as an energy pathway, was much more orientated within that. And in actual fact, is something that he's still trying to perceive now. And at that point, it was like he was at his happiest point, even though he didn't actually bring that about or exchange that happiness with human physical people around him. In actual fact, he locked himself away and even became such a recluse and destitute.
So there are people like that actually created the life plan, if you like, of the planet, of everybody, for everybody.
Yes, absolutely.
For the
so,
world.
Yes, but he was actually a selfless being, completely selfless. I have every admiration for Nikolai, every admiration. He was a really beautiful being.
And still is.
And still is.
And Albert, you say, he is Albert Einstein, he's somebody else who actually followed his pathway.
Yes, absolutely so, because he understood a great deal more about the nature of universal dynamics than he actually let on either, and in actual fact foiled his own experiments because he felt they were just simply too dangerous.
At the end, that was, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes, quite so.
But both of these people didn't have an easy life.
No, that is quite true, even though I have to say Albert himself was actually at least recognized within his own lifetime.
Mm.
However, the situation, of course, for poor Nikolai during his physical life was one of, in a sense, it was as though he was a fish in a tank.
Mm.
And many people knew of his work, but simply didn't take him seriously. And those that did actually took his ideas and ingenuity and then used them for their own devices and creating their own wealth with. You see, the point with Nikolai is that he never actually was interested, did not see these experiments that he was creating and having great success with as being something that he would then make money from. He wanted them to be free to the world.
Yes. So basically, in a nutshell, so we've only got a couple of minutes left. You would say that how, you know, following your life pathway, or getting onto your pathway would be, if you were acting in a positive way, utilizing your fullest potential.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know their potential. That's why they have these readings, for instance.
Potential begets prolificity. If you are prolific in something, you only become prolific because you realize your potential and what you may create. Creating potential, then, is in a sense, even if you just have a glimmer of it, you understand more than the process of one and one. You understand how you can bend, shape, turn, move events from what they were and perhaps you observing people suffering or you observing people struggling with their lives in one way or another, you turn that into potential which they may view and see themselves.
Mm.
It's no point in bringing out potential of someone else's nature if they actually don't see it, or if they refuse to see it. That is then a matter of their decision and not something that we can become involved in. We cannot implore someone to take up the challenges that we raise in their life plan journey.
Mm. Well, even if it's not a spirit-based situation, basically keep an open mind, think outside the box, always, you know, never think that this is it.
Even if it is.
Yes, don't procrastinate. Are these all good things to be?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And we can't really finish without saying, obviously, meditate, become in tune with your inner guidance, your spirit.
Because it is the key to your existence, as in reflecting and understanding the potential of your own inner happiness.
Mm.
Isn't that something worth creating love for?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, once again, we went round the houses, but it was fascinating as always,
Gregory. We knocked on every door and opened as many windows as we could, yes. God bless, dear friend.
God bless. Thank you very much. And we hope you've enjoyed the show. Please visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and you can find out more information about us. And if you want to get in touch with an idea for a show, subject, topic, or just send me in some questions, as I did today, read out our listeners' questions today, then I'm more than happy to do that for you. And thank you so much for listening. My name is Sylvie Avery. This has been Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.